It's kind of funny how sometimes week to week we have a different congregation here, don't we? Last week it was like completely packed and a lot of different folks, so amen. Well, be back next week, so it's all good. Hallelujah. Ready to get your Bibles with you? Amen. Wave it around, make the devil mad. How about that? Let's do that. Let's make him mad. That's right. He's got issues. We're here to give him more issues, right? We're going to help him. We're going to help pile the issues on tonight. Hallelujah. But amen. One of my jobs is to give him a coronary, and that's all right. So, hallelujah. Guess what I do? I use warfare. Amen. And we're going to talk a little about warfare tonight. You know, there is, when we talk about warfare or spiritual warfare, you know, it sounds like, we're getting, you know, crazy, super spiritual. But you know what? You have to do warfare every day.
Yeah.
You realize that?
Yeah.
You have to do warfare just to get out of bed in the morning sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we can paint this up as something super spiritual, but it can, you know, very spiritual, but the point is, your warfare is can affect, impact you, how you respond to things. Again, you get up in the bed in the morning, you walk across, you know, whether you perform your job, everything. The devil is there to attack you in every area of your life. Your health, your finances, everything. It all begins with your thoughts, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now there are just some people, they're paralyzed because of things, but we can use spiritual warfare, and it's really just using the word.
Amen.
It's really just coming back and saying, no, it is written, it is written, and it is written.
Yes.
We're going to read a couple of things. Excuse me. I'm going to read a couple of things. I'm going to come back to Ephesians chapter 6, so that's where we're going to end up today, or tonight. Do a little bit of review from last week, because I think there's some good things mentioned, but Ephesians, and I'm going to bounce through some of these scriptures so you can write them down, whatever you want to. But again, spiritual warfare is very important. You know what? It's not only important for you, but it's important for people around you.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent time interceding, just like Ephesians chapter 6 says. We'll get into that here in just a second. But praying for people to be born again. You know, we are put on this planet to do spiritual warfare against the enemy. And we know that we're not putting on fatigues, we're not putting on camouflage, we're not buying guns, we're not, you know, we're going to shoot the devil. No, we do it in the spirit realm, and there's things that we do, right? We don't get weird about things, but we come back to the Bible and do. That didn't sound very good, did it? I saw some smirks on that one, do. Pastor Brent said do. Ephesians 6, chapter verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness in this world." Here we go. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there are things that are impacting us that we can't necessarily put our thumb on. But guess what? We can put the thumb on who the answer is. And that is Jesus, right? The name of Jesus has overcome this.
Yes.
You can read Ephesians the first chapter, and it talks about how we call the Ephesians prayers. Read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through the end of the chapter. That is, or 17 through the end of the chapter. And then you look, and you're going to read Ephesians, the third chapter, about 16 through 20, and that's the Ephesians prayers as well. Okay, that builds us up. What does that do? That's doing spiritual warfare. That's getting your thinking straight, right? That's changing your thinking. Because, again, if Jesus showed up here on the earth and he was insecure and dealt with all of these things, he would not have accomplished what he did. Because why? Because his thinking was straight. It all begins with our thinking. Again, that's where we see in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus went out and he came up, he was baptized. John the Baptist baptized him when he came up out of the water. And it says the Holy Spirit led him immediately into the wilderness. What did the devil do in the wilderness? Did they have a duke out session, right? They were fighting with fists? No. The devil, what? Attacked his thinking. And that's where Jesus did warfare. Again, we, you know, again, you talk about spiritual warfare, you get all these goofy answers and all these people, you know, or we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Guess what? We've already won the battle before we get there. You got to realize that. We've already won because the enemy has been defeated, but we are the occupying force. We are enforcing his defeat. Mm-hmm. Right? My grandfather was in World War II. My step-grandpa was in World War II. My grandpa's father's brother was in World War II. So, you know, one of them was blown up in a Germans blew him up in a tank, and he couldn't use one of his legs, and he had leg problems all the rest of his life. The other one was in a Nazi concentration camp for months. So they did all these things to enforce the victory, right? But guess what? When they had the victory, what we call the occupying force came in, and they're the ones that ensured that it was going to stay that way, okay? Jesus went, he paid the price, he went to the Nazi concentration camp, which was hell, Ephesians the fourth chapter. We also see that in Revelations chapter 1, that he took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave, right? So we know he went to hell, he defeated the enemy, now we're the occupying force. What do? We're just enforcing the devil's defeat. Every day we get up and we enforce the devil's defeat. The devil is convinced the world that he is this big, ugly, bad dude. And I saw there's this demonic commercial on about some priest now, and they're, you know, somebody's demon possessed. I laughed out loud so hard. I had a belly laugh watching this commercial because, first of all, it's satanic. Second of all, I'm laughing and I'm thinking, see, you're painting yourself like you're this big bad dude, and you're not all of that. See how Hollywood makes the devil like he's some big scary dude and everything. I got one word for him, and it's called Jesus.
Amen.
That's it. I mean, you are done. Yes. There is no, it's just Jesus and the Word, and you are defeated, right? There's no fighting and struggling, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Jesus showed up. It was just one punch to the Holy Ghost, punch to the jaw, and he was done. And it says that he has basically defanged him, right? The Word says that he is all bark and no bite. That's my translation, right? That he stripped him of everything. So what is our warfare? Our warfare is simply getting our minds straight and agreement with the Word of God. That's what our warfare is. That's most of the warfare. Now, the things we need to do, we need to pray. We need to get into the Word. We need to get our minds renewed. But spiritual warfare comes back to the Bible, right? We see the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. I'm not going to go there, but you can find it yourself. You can do a little homework assignment. What did they do? They showed up. They tried to cast out demons. And the demon said, oh, Paul we know, and Jesus we definitely know, but who are you, right? Yeah. It's basically, you don't have a relationship with Christ, and it didn't mean that Paul was any better or any worse. It just means that Paul was able to do spiritual warfare because he used the Word. Mm-hmm. And he used the name of Jesus. So again, you know, it comes back to this relationship. Man, I'm way off track, but that's okay. 1 John 4:4 says, You are of God, little children. You've overcome them because what? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Amen. That power of God that's living on the inside of us is way stronger, more powerful than any of the enemy of the devil, any naysayer, any person in the world. The greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Excuse me. And I love Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power. Everybody say all.
All.
Now, I don't know a lot of languages. In fact, I don't know any other than English, and I barely speak it very well. But all means all, right? I mean, the last time I knew that. Remember that commercial? Okay, all those of you old enough to know the all commercial, what is that, detergent or something,
yeah.
You know? And the little kid goes, A-L-L, right? He'd put his fingers on the letters and spell out all that commercial.
Yeah.
Kids are going, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, what was the Atari shirt? There we go. We got the Atari shirt back there. He's got an Atari shirt with the old console I used to use as a kid, and it's like, that's old school, yeah. So I've got an Atari shirt. I'm total geeked out too, but I don't have an Atari anymore. But anyway, it was fun. But all means all. It doesn't mean partial. It means all inclusive, doesn't it? All in any language still means all, right? If I have 10 cookies, better not talk about food, you know? You never notice I haven't talked about food for a long time. I mean, it just seemed like there for years and years and years, like every time I talk about food, and let's just talk about food, all right? I got 10 pieces of pizza. All means 10 pieces of pizza, right? Everything that I have, all the pizza. And Jesus is sitting here telling us in the book of Matthew, all, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, you go to Ephesians. Let's go there. Let's kind of daisy chain things. Let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Oh, man, this is so wonderful. In verse 22, now we see there in the Gospels, we see in the end of Mark and the end of Matthew, where Jesus is giving the commission, right? He's given all this authority and all this power. Now, this is where people get in error. They'll say, well, I've got power of the enemy. No, Jesus' power has been delegated to us. Okay, that's where people, they get into, you read church history, and you get into things like John Alexander Dowie, great man of God, or other people, they get off. And then John Alexander Dowie, now, we've got a lot to thank John Alexander Dowie for, because he's the one that I think he went to court like 127 times or something, because he would pray for people, he would have healing rooms, and he got sued and jailed. It was almost 120 some times because they were trying to get him on practicing medicine without a license. And see, thank you to him that I can pray for people now. People can get healed, and I don't have to have somebody coming in and trying to prosecute me for trying to lay hands on somebody to get them healed, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So we're seeing these people, but he kind of got an error for the fact that began. He thought he was Elijah, and again, what happens is he wasn't guarding his thoughts, right? He wasn't using spiritual warfare. Now, using spiritual warfare, there's a couple of things. Again, we want to, you know, have confidence in what God's done, but it's not us. That's where humility comes in. That's where we, again, pride can go on both sides. Pride can say that I am just the greatest thing since peanut butter and everybody should bow down to me. Pride also comes and says, I'm just nothing but dirt. I'm just going to go eat worms and nobody likes me, right? So pride is in both extensions on both sides. Humility is self-assessment of an accurate self-assessment. Now, if you don't believe me, look at Moses' writings. He said that he was the most humble, had the most humility on the face of the planet, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, you can look at that and you can say, well, Moses was the one that wrote the first five books of the Bible, or, you know, Genesis through, and you can say, well, that sounds kind of arrogant. No, what he's saying is, I am probably the person that accurately self-assesses myself accurately, right? And so, when we use spiritual warfare and we come to the Word, we know that, you know what? I am nothing without God, but because of Him, I'm everything. Mm-hmm. And because I'm great because of what He's done for me and the power that works in me, right? That's where we come back to things and we say, all right, we're going to come back to this. And the devil wants to get you on one side or the other, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what he did with Jesus when he was in well, you're just going to call all these angels. You just jump off this pinnacle and you'll be fine, right? But trying to pump him up. He's trying to use the three areas of temptation the Revelation talks about, which is the pride of life, right? There's three things in there. He tried to use all three things against Christ. Well, when you use spiritual warfare, what I mean by spiritual warfare is when you come in and you assess yourself accurately with Christ, you're going to have victory. But when you get in error, then that's where you got trouble. So we see here, we just read that Matthew 28. Am I going way too fast here? No. Are you all awake? Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah. Okay, I just want to check. Let's see here. Are you awake? You guys awake? All right, you look squirrely. You're like, you're just like, I got sugar, sugar, sugar. It's like pouring gas on the fire, you know? So anyway. If I babysit your kids, I'm just telling you what right now, if you don't show up on time to pick them up, I will give them Mountain Dew and Reese's before they go home. So anyway, just saying. All right. The kids are like, yes. Ephesians, the first chapter. And it says, verse 22, and he has put all things, talking about Jesus, under his feet and gave him to be the head of the church, all things, what? Which is his body, the fullness that fills all in all. What is he saying? Everything that I have, he's given to the church. Woo! Yeah, amen. Turn to the sixth chapter. Since we're right there, let's just... Verse 6:11. 6:11. Ephesians 6:11. Now, we're going to talk about in the armor of God, right? We've all read about the armor of God, but it says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. You know, the devil is just, how can I say it? He's like that, okay, kids take this the right way. He's like a pesky little sibling that just will not give up, right? But he's just nasty. Right, they just keep coming back. I got a dog, and they just keep coming back. They just keep coming back. They just keep coming back. It's like, please go lay down. We got a couple of mini golden doodles. I call them the dudes. You know, they're the doodles. So I call them the dudes. You know, so I like. So we went home earlier. I'm like, okay, let's let the dudes out. Right. So they're the doodles. But you know, they're just like sometimes they just don't give up. They just keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Right. You throw a ball, they keep coming back. You have a sock or something, they just keep coming back and they won't stop. Well, the devil is relentless and he keeps coming back and he keeps trying to do things, but we can stop the enemy, right? Why? We put on our armor. Mm-hmm. We're going to put his armor on because it says here, put on the whole armor of what? Of God. You know what the greatest thing about Christianity is over any other religion is, guess what? The pressure is taken off of you. I'm just telling you, the pressure is taken off. Every other religion comes and says, you've got to do something, you've got to measure up to this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this. And Christianity says, Christ has paid the price, just obey him and move forward. You ever, how many have kids that, you know, sometimes we just say, you just say, just do it. And they say, but why? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to do this? And you're like, okay, I don't want to get into a dissertation here, all right? You know, you ever have that sometimes where you deal with people or something and they ask, why? Why do I have to do this? Why? And sometimes I'm like, why did I teach them how to talk? Right? But they give a why? Little kids are like that. But it all comes back to, you know, and the same with us. The Lord he's redeemed us. Sometimes we don't understand, we don't know what's going on, but why is it important? It's important to be led by the Spirit because guess what? The Spirit knows, and sometimes we don't have the capacity to understand some things, right? Yes. And there are things with that you war with that sometimes God isn't going to do, and that's part of the warfare, is not knowing the whole picture. Moses thought he was going to deliver the Hebrews there. He was going to kill that Egyptian. And man, we're just going to get this thing rolling. And then it was like, oops. That didn't work out as planned, right? That wasn't God's plan. But he still eventually came around, repented, and came back and obeyed God. What is part of the warfare? Part of the warfare is we fight the good fight of what? Faith. When things look like it's just an absolute mess, guess what? Jesus is still the anchor. I remember years ago, doing things, and this is, again, part of everything. There's just so much involved with warfare. But I remember us doing things, and God was calling us to do this and do this and do this, and I'm like, why am I doing this stuff? This seems so lame and everything, and God's not going to go down and go, okay, well, let's sit down here. Let me explain everything to you. Because even then, I would be like, I don't want to do that. Right? I had my own plan, but God's like, no. But guess what? You know what? That's a warfare in itself, battling between what I want to do and what God wants me to do, right? See, that's warfare. Why? Because I'm tempted to do things that I want to do, right? And then God doesn't mean that, you know, hey, I'm just telling you what, following God is great, and it doesn't mean that, you know, everything's just big sack of lemons, and it's just so awful, terrible following God, because it's not. But the thing of it is, fighting the good fight of faith and walking and having spiritual warfare, part of the issue part of the challenge with spiritual warfare is knowing that, okay, you know what? God does know more than me. And I know that's stupid, and I've told myself that 1,000 times. Sometimes the Lord will speak to me by in the Word or by His Spirit, and I'll think, but I have to sit back and I'll go, wait a minute, He does know a lot more than I do. So I'm going to actually trust Him more than what I do know, right? For example, Adrian and I were, well, I've told this before, but this just bears talking about. Adrian and I were in a, do you remember those little Festivus? Those little Ford cars, you know, they had like a basically a hamster and a rubber band, you know, and you wind them up. They're like a big pregnant roller skate, you know, and you can, you know. So anyway, there is ridiculous. It was hilarious. We had a bright yellow one at that time, you know. And I worked at Vermeer, and all the guys I worked with was like, you know, man, we're just waiting for like 12 clowns to pile out of your car, and you know, so it was a big joke, you know. But anyway, but it was this little dinky car. It was really small, but it was great on gas. Hey, you know, I laughed all the way to the bank on the gas prices back then, but it was a great car. But anyway, so it was a Saturday night, probably about this time. We were going home, getting ready for church the next day. And anyway, so on the inside, I just kept getting this, I don't know. I just, as we were driving, it was coming up over this bridge. And outside of Ottumwa, we were right by a cemetery that I used to work for. Anyway, coming over that bridge, and on the inside, I just kept, slow down, slow down. Now, I have a decision to make. Am I going to listen to it, or am I going to use my reason, right? So I'm tempted here. I'm thinking, so I slow down. I mean, there's nobody behind me. There's a few cars. It's a 2-lane, so they can pass. And all of a sudden, I just get this, and we start praying in the Holy Ghost and praying things out. And it just kept coming, and I just thought, so I had to slow down. Well, anyway, there's a drunk driver that came up, shot over the median, would have hit us and probably killed us because we were in this little car, yeah. Hit his head on. I mean, it was probably from here to that wall, he jumped and went in the ditch, and he was drunk. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm tempted, right? I'm probably not the only one that's dealt with this, right? You're trying to think. You've got spiritual warfare going on in your head. Again, spiritual warfare, it doesn't mean that it's this big. I'm going to 12 hours and I'm going to pray, you know, and I'm going to do all. It just means in the moment sometimes are we going to shift and go, okay, I trust you, God, in this process, and I'm going to rely on you, and I'm putting on my armor of God. Part of that putting on the armor of God is trusting in Him, right? Getting our thinking straight. So God didn't have time to tell me, okay, guess what? There's a drunk driver down there about 4 miles down the road. You're going to get up to the bridge. I want you to slow down because there was no time for that. There's no time for this with God sometimes. You don't have anything. Dean of Rhema at the time, Gary Crowell, I remember him talking. He used to pastor over here in Mount Pleasant. And he said they were on a road, gravel road. It was like wintertime. It was very dark. And they were going to some people in the church or having like a get-together at their house kind of out in the country. Well, it's dark out. Obviously, you know the country roads around here. There's not like a lot of lighting or anything. A black Angus bull standing in the middle of the road, the gravel road. He said, we're flying down. He goes, I turn around, I'm talking to Connie, I look over. All of a sudden, there's this big Angus bull, and all I said was, Jesus. And he said, that thing went like this and supernaturally turned sideways, and we drove right around it, right? There is no sometimes, well, let me think this through, God, right? This doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand everything, right? You know, can you show me a scripture for that right now, Lord? Right? I need a word from God. I need a sign. Let me tell you what the sign is. A black Angus bull in the middle of the road, right? See, again, that's where we war with. And we want to over-spiritualize things sometimes and say, well, you know, I'm waiting for a sign, or I'm waiting for this, or I'm waiting for that. When really it's just everyday life that we run into that God needs to do something for us, or we're battling whatever that is, and that's how we put on the full armor of God. So we see here, verse 11, let's read this again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? Guess what? It's not a problem with God. I'll tell you what, a lot of churches, it's all about, well, God did this, and God allowed this, and God allowed, and we're so focused on the garbage that, you know, God probably did this, and God probably did this. And God, let me just say, God and the devil are not holding hands, tiptoeing through the tulips together. They're not behind the deal, making secret deals behind the scenes, right? Yeah. It's not. We are focused on the Lord and His victory, but we're aware of the enemy tries to do things. God's not out killing people because they think it's kind of cute. And he needs more, wants more people in heaven. Well, guess what? We'll eventually get there someday, okay? Who are born again. I mean, it's going to be wonderful on the other side, but I don't want to check out tonight, right? And I'm pretty sure that, you know, Scripture says that, you know, with long life he'll satisfy us, show us his salvation, right? He wants us to have a long life. But anyway, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," here we go, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Guess what? Every thought you have comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you right now. How many of us said this before? Was that just me? You know, you're trying to figure out, was that me or what was that God? Every thought you have is generated from somewhere. It's either coming from heaven or from hell, one of the two. Right? Well, I don't agree with that. Well, let's just say this. You're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you're wanting to read your Bible, and then guess what? Oh, I need to check email. I need to... Oh, this is good. Movie's on over here. Oh, this is cool. Oh, look at this song. Oh, look at this cute little puppy video I saw on YouTube. Right? Now, it doesn't mean it's like awful, sinful stuff, right? But what it means is there's distractions along the way, right? Ooh, I feel like getting a cookie right now. I feel like doing this. I feel like doing this. And those things aren't necessarily bad. I'm not condemning people and saying this. But what I am saying is, you know, the devil sometimes doesn't come along, I've said this before, with a pitchfork and saying, boogity, 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 I'm the devil. But he comes along and he brings, you know, brings along other suggestions or other things along the way. Verse 13, "Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So it's just basically what? Do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Do what you know is right, and that's stand. When everything seems like, ugh, stand. Can I just tell you something too? One of the biggest enemies that we face, especially here in the United States, is complacency. I'll tell you what right now. I've flown places, for example, years ago, flew into San Francisco. When I was about riding, I was flying down in San Francisco, I sensed the spirit on that place. You can tell when you fly into places. When I flew out of the U.S., I flew from Detroit into Amsterdam and then from Amsterdam into Kenya, and I was there for a couple weeks, and then I came back. I came back into Minneapolis, or what, I flew back into the United States, it was like this complacency. Right? See, that's part of the... Again, it's not this whole, I'm the devil. I'm, ooh. Sometimes it's just, feels good. Right? And there's nothing wrong with comfort. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I'm just saying that when I'm, you know, when I'm in Africa or, you know, somewhere else, or even in the U.S., when I'm in, for example, like New Orleans, we've been in New Orleans before ministering to people, and when you're there, you know, I'd rather have the devil manifest just totally in my face like I have before. I'd rather deal with demon-possessed people and just people that are just, rather than, yeah. Because it's easy for, when I have demonic people involved, to just knock the hoo-ha out of them with the Holy Ghost, right? But some people, they're so, you know, intoxicated with complacency. That's a war in itself. I mean, and I mean, we all deal with it sometimes, especially living here. You know, everything's just, I'm just going to turn the air conditioner on. I'm going to, ooh, this lazy boy feels kind of, Right? Right? Ooh, those chocolate cookies, they're just not chocolatey enough. Right? So we can get to the place where things just aren't, it's just not comfortable. I mean, come on. How many have been to movies lately? Right? In the last 5 years. Okay, you know what I did? You just the flip-up chair. We all were there. You sit down like these, a little bit of padding, and you're watching it for 2 hours. Now it's like... Yeah. Oh, is there a movie going on? Oh, what? Wait. Can you give me a sandwich? Thanks. Right? And so, you know, we've gone from, what, 200 people into 300 people in a movie theater into what? I don't know. 75? I don't know how many, because now we got these big old, you know, leather, you know, stretched couches that we lay on to watch a movie, you know? So that in itself, again, it sounds crazy. That in itself is spiritual warfare, isn't it? Yeah. Because now we have to fight our flesh or all of these things that the devil or the Bible tells us that the devil, that he's just going to come along. It's all confident. Oh, right. How many of you have been watching the Chosen series? Yeah. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Some good stuff there. And it's amazing how I always think about things like, you know, what if the disciples would have been, I'm okay, right? Matthew's a tax collector. You know, I'm making pretty good money. You know, some of these people were doing pretty good. They didn't need... Really, I mean, they really didn't need Jesus to come along and, I mean, the natural to help them with anything. But the cool thing about Jesus is he rescues people. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
He rescues people and he rescues us. I'm just telling you what, I'm going to get on the other side and talk to my guardian angel when we're on the other side sometime. And he's, first of all, he's going to go, you made my life rough. But then on the other hand, all the things he did that I never knew about. Isn't that cool? Well, I can get on the other side and hanging out with the angels and Jesus, and he's like, dude, let me tell you what. All right, you have no idea. And that's so cool because, you know what, that's part of the fighting the good fight of faith is because God's doing things behind the scenes that we have no idea about. I mean, I should be dead. You know how many times I should have died, right? I was just talking to somebody today. I've been shot at. I almost drowned as a kid. Fell off my bike. I went headfirst into the concrete. I had a concussion. I was there. It's just like one thing. I was a crazy kid, though, too. I did just crazy stuff. But, I mean, just all of these things that I'm like, Lord, I shouldn't even be here. But you know what? He delivered me. Mm-hmm. He rescued me. So many times over the years, I've been places where I should have been in prison, right? I just was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And God, in his mercy, said, get out of there right now. And I left. And then 30 minutes later, the police came, arrested people, and they went to prison for years, right? I wasn't doing anything, but it's just the wrong place at the wrong time. And God, I look back, and that's part of the reason I look back and I've said, okay, God, I'll follow you, and I don't understand things, because the things that I did see him deliver me from, I'm thinking back, you know what? How many times he's delivered me, I don't know about. Mm-hmm. See, yeah. That's spiritual warfare in itself, right?
Yeah.
And spiritual warfare, your thought process, man, this is so deep. We could go down this rabbit trail for a year. Just this whole thought process. But part of the fighting the good fight of the faith and getting your thoughts under control is because the enemy will come along and say, well, you do what you want to do, it's better, but he always leaves something off, right? For example, in the Garden of Eden, when he's tempting Adam and Eve, what did he say? Well, if you eat this, then your eyes will be open to, you know, the good and the evil. Well, guess what? They didn't need to have their eyes open to the evil, did they? Mm-mm. There's no need for that.
No.
I mean, guess what? When we're over on the other side in heaven, one good thing that we'll have over Adam and Eve is we will know what it's like not to have God, right? Mm-hmm. We'll have the revelation of what it's like to live in a sinful world where the devil has, you know, run rampant, but then we're also going to know what it's going to be like to be completely absorbed in him, mm-hmm. which is going to be fabulous. Mm-hmm. So again, it's one of those things where we look at guarding ourselves. Let's finish things up here, and we'll kind of wrap things up. So verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on a breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, I'll tell you what, that in itself, I don't have time. Obviously, we're going to wrap things up here. But the gospel is the good news and of peace. The good news, the peace, well, read it in the Amplified. Yeah, would you?
On 15, it says, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace.
That's incredible. And then, but you know, the gospel of peace... How many people in this life are losing because they don't have peace? How many here have lost in the past because you didn't have peace? Right? Yeah. I was in that boat. And there's an old saying, there's no rest for the wicked. Well, there is for those who have peace.
That's right.
And you can have everything and absolutely be torn apart inside because you don't have peace.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have peace. I mean, Brother Hagin, I love Papa Hagin. I mean, I wasn't real close to Brother Hagin, but I met him, Mater and I, we'd met him. We listened to his teachings and stuff live. It wasn't like I was really knew Brother Hagin. We worked for Pastor Hagin. But the stories he tells are just amazing. Every time I listen to Brother Hagin, sometimes Kenneth Hagin, you listen to the stories, you're like, did that really happen?
Yeah.
You're sitting there thinking to yourself, that happened? You're always kind of listening to those things, and he's one of those people, obviously very prophetic, and the Lord has visited him several times, and amazing things, incredible teaching, and God has used him. But this is every one of these areas, and you can look through the Word, and you can see elements of spiritual warfare, things that you can see the devil trying to attack on, and it all begins with a thought process, doesn't it? And then verse 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? Obviously, we are here, we're going to fight the fight of faith, right? The fight of faith says that everything, my whole playhouse can be burning to the ground, but I'm still going to stand with him. And I think that we get too many people, and especially, you know, some other maybe denominations, they look at somebody like Job, and the whole point of Job, their whole process is they look at Job and they think, see, what happens, you know, you can go through this thing. No, what it does mean is we can go through absolute living hell and God still brings us out twice as much as we had before.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
It means sometimes we don't know why things happen, but we still have that faith walk where we're walking with faith and we turn around and we say, you know what? I don't know how I got here. I don't know why this stuff happened. And some, you know, the why question is sometimes we just need to let that thing go. But what happened to Job is he lost everything. It was horrible. It was terrible. He got these knucklehead friends of his that says, just curse, you know, and then he's got a wife. I love this. Can I talk about the wife? Can I preach about the wife tonight? Mm-hmm. But you know how he killed up everybody died. All everything died. But he had a wife, and his wife said, curse God and die. And the devil's like, she's doing a good enough job already. And the devil sometimes just leaves those people that are just absolute, you know, yeah, you know what I mean. So, but you know what? Job came back, and he was more blessed than before. And why? Because he kept the fight of faith, right? We can say all day long, debate about, oh, this or that, and get into everything else. But the point is, when your world completely falls apart, and you still say, okay, God, if it's just me and you, I'm still going to stick with you. Remember we talked about last week, the little kids, everything, every answer was Jesus, you know, like that. What'd you learn today?
Jesus.
Well, who'd you talk about today? God. What'd you talk about?
Bible.
Everything's Jesus, God, Bible, and that's it. And those three words of little kids, you know.
Cookies.
The snacks. I mean, that's, you know, hey, yeah, well, that's important. You know, snacks are important. But that's all we need is Jesus, right? We just need Jesus. And then verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we stop right there. We'll stop here tonight. But the helmet of salvation, let me just say this. The helmet of salvation, when we have salvation, now that salvation, that Greek word is sozo, and that is power packed. Because we, again, our religious mindset, we think that it's just saved. That's not just we got fire insurance and we're saved and we're going to heaven. Sozo means, it means healed, delivered from our enemies, also saved. There's so much there that what Jesus did for us was salvation, right? There's power in that. Then it says also the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, sometimes we just need to be talking, right? Sometimes we just got to say things.
Yes.
We got to, just speak the word out of our mouth. That's what Jesus did there. Again, when he came out of the water, John baptized him. It says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. You know, now, why is God going to lead you somewhere to be tempted? To defeat them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. See, we're so scared of, too many Christians are too scared of the devil. Guess what? God will take you to places to whip the devil.
Amen.
That's really good. I'm telling you right now, that's good preaching right there. I don't care what you say. I'm not taking it back, right? Because he will take you places to defeat the devil. He has taken me places to pray for people, to get people born again. I remember one time I had a call. Just one more story. Is that okay? And then we'll close it up. All right. I remember one time I was 8 or 9, and I don't even remember if the kids were born. I think Molly and Kate were really little. They were just babes at the time. They weren't very old, but got a call. And, it's Saturday night, so it's about this time. You know, back then we were having church on Sunday morning. So I'm getting ready. You know, I'm praying. I'm doing this stuff. And I'm getting ready for church the next day and everything. And I get a call. Hey, can you come over? Come over where? Like, as a family member called me, come over where? Well, so-and-so's in the hospital and they would need you to pray for him. Okay, well, on the inside, go now. Go now. And I'm making all these excuses. I'll call, I'll drop by tomorrow after church. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And so I was like, yeah, I'll come tonight. I'll come tonight. I have no idea what's going on. So I get to the hospital. And there was one of my family members' cousins. So I'm there praying. I'm like, whoa, this guy's in bad shape, right? Really bad shape. And so talking with him, he's breathing. I can tell I didn't know the extent of it. He's just going to be dying like literally any minute, right? And so as I'm praying, he got born again. And it just like a light just lit up on his face, right? He's minutes from death. Right when I got in the car and left, within an hour, he's dead. Now, it was inconvenience, right? But that guy's in heaven today. And God will take you places to do spiritual warfare, to do things for people that are not convenient for you, right? I remember Aiden and I went down to New Orleans. I lied. Another story, is that okay? We're in New Orleans and stuff, and there's just people there. And, we were divinely sent there, right? Not because God told us you're going to feel good. It's going to be more. We were eating bologna sandwiches. Come on, guys, right? Bologna and cheese sandwiches. Dear Jesus, what have you brought me to? It's like,
wait, we slept
on a floor eating, cold showers, and I'm eating like bologna and cheese sandwiches, and I'm like, Lord, this is a sacrifice, okay? I'm eating dog and cheese sandwiches here. But, we're doing things. Why? Because we're sent there to cause havoc and reap havoc on the enemy. You should have seen. We saw a girl that died and she came back to life. One of our team members, we see people, we got people were healed. We saw, a guy was drunk, couldn't even walk. We laid hands on him, and then he instantly became sober. And then he started like picking up tracks off. and started witnessing the people there on the streets. So I'm just saying that, you know, part of our spiritual warfare is to create havoc on the enemy. Not always to feel good all the time, right? And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came. Oh, let's turn there. Acts chapter 10. I am so sorry. No, I'm not. I'm really not sorry. I'm really not sorry. Acts 10. Acts 10:38. This is so good. This is so good. Because guess what Jesus did? Spiritual warfare. His whole life was spiritual warfare, right? He came to declare war on the devil. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what with power, who went about doing good. Everything God does is good. Everything God does is good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The oppression comes from the enemy, the devil. And where it goes, for God was with him. What does that mean? The Father God put his stamp of approval on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, God anointed Jesus with Nazareth by the Holy Ghost. God put his stamp of approval on him. And Jesus went around kicking down the teeth of the devil every chance that he got, didn't he? And the oppression came from the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we just come before you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you're so good. You love us. We praise you. We thank you for everything you've done, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, tonight, my prayer for everyone here, Lord, is we wake up and have a revelation of spiritual warfare in our everyday thought life. Everything that we do, Lord, that it is everything is a spiritual warfare. Everything that comes to us is either from heaven or hell, Lord, that we are receiving something. But, Lord, we are meditating only on the things of you, and we're only going to hear the voice of our Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we will not turn to another. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, we got a really cool little slick app, too, for prayer. So that's something cool that we're doing on Wednesday nights. So, amen. Have a great week, everybody.